The Scandoval has taken up most of my brain activity, and what's left is ready to cackle.
Tom and Ariana may be on the rocks, but I'm always going to serve it to you straight.
Oh, you guys, straight up on the rocks. Slice of lemon and lime. We're going to get a little twisty on this episode. I have literally no doubt. It's Andy's Girls. It is a little bit of a support group, I think, episode. And there is literally no one else that I would want to talk about the Scandoval with but today's guest. You know her as a professional talker, social media journalist, CEO of Deep Dives, also known as the Talk of Shame Online. Welcome back to Andy's Girls, Kiki Monique. Kiki, how are we?
I mean, I wish I had a drink, but it's Monday and I'm 3 hours ahead of you. So that would probably be inappropriate. Unless, maybe if I had an Irish coffee, it would be okay, right?
Well, I gotta tell you, I have slept for about 4 hours working on the survival guide to the Vanderpump Rules, Michigas. I don't know where I am or what's happening. And the Starbucks on my corner was closed today. And the other alternate coffee shop has been temporarily given a timeout by like New York City's whatever stuff. So I just went to a bakery near me and said, do you have iced coffee? Can I have two, please? And I'm literally double fisting right now. And I've got a shooter or whatever. What's it called when you have a thing after a shot?
Like a red eye.
Yeah. But what's that thing called when you like have a drink and then have another drink? What's that called?
Oh,
when you have like
yeah,
a beer with a shot? A chaser.
Oh, like a chaser, yeah.
I have a chaser of some cinnamon spice tea and an emergency Gatorade Zero giving me those electrolytes so that this episode can continue on.
Can happen. No, I understand. That's like all the fluids, all the liquids, all the electrolytes. They're necessary.
They are necessary, as is absolutely this conversation, which, guys, was obviously scheduled well prior to what the fuck is going on. So first and foremost, you have been boots on the ground, both on the episode of Vanderpump Rules that I watched last night, as well as on social. I have to just ask you, as a supreme content creator and obviously Bravoholic, how are you feeling right now?
Look, I will say that like my emotions have run the gamut only because, you know, what was it? A week ago, I got invited to the Crappies to be a presenter at their LA show. And I was like really honored, so excited. And, you know, backstage, you know, there was, you know, Ariana was there. And, you know, I had run into her obviously a few times at other events. And it's not like we're like friends, but I felt like when you see someone that often, you just become like these social friends. This night, though, was the first time we actually got to sit and talk. And I will just say that, like, it's just so ironic because, one, she was really just like talking about how, you know, all these things she wanted to do about helping Schwartz and Sandys. We were talking about that. And later in the night when we were out at this loud ass club dancing, and I'm over here telling her about like my ex-boyfriend. I mentioned my ex-boyfriend in my stories when I was relating to all of this.
Yes.
I was telling her about the story about my ex and how, you know, like, even though it was like such a waste of my life, it like, you know, it I'm so glad what happened and how it pivoted me and changed my life. It's just interesting because I was having all these conversations just to like relate to her. And now it's like, oh my God, like if this had happened, it would just have meant such a different thing. So it's weird because then I felt like when this news broke, part of me felt guilty because I felt like we had established a friendship, but I still have this responsibility as a journalist, as a pop culture journalist, to really report on it. And I'm like, it sucks because when you really like someone, just like ripping that scab over and over and talking about it has to be the worst. But truly, truly deep down, as messed up as this is going to be the best thing that has happened for her. I just feel like this sandwich shop is going to thrive. And like, you know, and that was one of the things we had talked about because, you know, she still is looking to getting it open. I wanted to introduce her to some hospitality people I know. She don't need me anymore. She's good. There's probably GoFundMe out there ready to like get this door open tomorrow.
I mean, I was very behind in VPR this season. So that was part of the reason why I was up so late, because prior to recording the deep dive of what the fuck we know and what the fuck might happen, I obviously wanted to catch up on episodes. And watching that scene of her and Katie just like looking at an example space, and they don't know what's going to happen with funding, and she knows not to put her money in, but like who else is, you know, is going to be involved. And, you know, friend of the pod, Dylan Hafer, was like, man, if only there were gift cards available right now, we would be selling them the fuck out. I wonder what conversations, obviously not ones that she's necessarily thinking about, understandably so, but what conversations might take place in the weeks to come to really say, listen, enough on focusing on Tom. I'm going to work that through. But what are areas and projects that people are asking about? Because they really, really want to financially support the next chapter in her life.
Yeah. And this is when it's so great that she has Katie as a business partner, because, you know, if she was doing this on her own, you know, this is like not what she wants to be thinking about. But Katie can really take the reins at this point and say, like, look, I know that you're going to be in this headspace, but like, I know you want to like keep this moving. Like, and people can give Katie ideas like, this is what I think you should be doing. And Katie can behind the scenes be making that happen. And when Ariana is ready to like jump back in, she's going to jump back in. And, you know, I'm excited, you know, like it's a sandwich shop. You know, I love a sandwich. So,
I mean, who doesn't? I mean, I know. Lord knows Tom Sandoval's filled with bologna. So maybe they can name a fucking sandwich in his goddamn honor, or maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe he's had enough attention for this millennium. Yeah. But in the meantime, we're going to give him a little bit of that today. You are, of course, an extremely popular content creator. Lord knows I go to your social essentially around the clock, because not only do you share information, but also your perspective. And you mentioned the difficulties at times when you have a personal relationship or connection to a Bravoleb, for example, and have to report on a obviously highly sensitive part of their life. How are you processing all of this as a Bravoholic first? Like, how did you receive the news? Honestly, like, internally, spiritually, and how are you feeling about it today? A couple days later, the world has seemingly changed in that time.
You know, I remember I got the news from my best friend, Georgia. And it's so funny because Georgia, I'm fast, but my friend Georgia is actually faster than me. And she like sends this text. She's like, Ariana and Tom. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So I immediately like open it up. And as a Bravoholic, of course, I am like, this is all I can talk about. I know for the next 24 hours, like it's on, like this is what we live for. I know it sounds, but like we live for these moments. Cause like, wait, what is happening? This can't be real. Like, no, this can't be real. This has to be some sort of rumor. But it quickly becomes not a rumor when Ariana has deleted her, you know, IG and Twitter. Yeah. And all of a sudden, like all of these things are like, okay, it's not adding up. This is like for real, for real. And then because I've made these relationships just through time, because I love Vanderpump Rules and I've just been like part of it, it's like people start texting you, people start DMing you, and they're giving you information. You're like, no, this is not, this can't be real. But obviously, as like a Bravoholic, I'm just like consumed because I want to take it all in. But then you know, as a woman, as somebody who's been in a relationship, who's been cheated on, now you're just like, all you want to do is get to the bottom of it because you've been here. You just know what Ariana is feeling in this moment. And you're just like, you want to just live for her. Like, you want to say the things that maybe she wants to say, but can't. And you just want to do all the things. And I felt like that times a million when you get to Bravo fans. It's, look, I was living in the comment section. I'm not going to be one of the people that's like wishing crazy things. I think that some people take it extreme and far, but I'm not going to say I'm not enjoying being in the comment section reading.
It does show you, I talked about this on the Survival Guide episode, but like, Bravo fans are so fucking smart, and they're also literally hilarious. And some of these tweets and memes and social that's coming out of this, I'm like, am I high right now? Because it's just a wild thing to process this as seemingly a communal event. There are lately few, I've gotten several messages of like, this has brought our country together. Like, there are so few instances of everyone receiving a genuine shock at the same time and seemingly expressing overwhelmingly a similar perspective. There is something so obviously communal about that, which adds to this kind of electricity that many of us are feeling.
I love when we all come together because, yeah, it's such a rarity. And I especially love it when it's something that's not Housewives related, because Housewives dominates Bravo. And I've always been a Vanderpump Rules fan, like always and forever. And so it was just so nice because people who hadn't watched Vanderpump Rules, which I didn't understand, are now like, oh my God, where do I start? And I'm so jealous of those people who get to start seasons 1 through 4. I mean, 1 through 4, you get to see it for the first time with virgin eyes. Jealous.
With virgin eyes that Jax is absolutely trying to fuck. I mean, wow. That's great American history right there. Those,
I mean,
early
it's
days.
The most amazing. Like, I had already done a rewatch, I think two times in the last year for seasons 1 and 2, just because why not? And so I had started with season 3 yesterday just because I was like, I just want to get into it. And damn, season 3, episode 1 out the gate already had so many I was literally mind blown. There was like one part where Ariana had said something where it was like, you know, like maybe certain people need to like go through phones and, you know, find out things about their boyfriend, like Kristen. And I was like, oh God, you know, like when you hear those things, you're like, oh, you just never think in that moment, you're going to end up being that person too. But damn.
In rewatching those early seasons, in watching season 3 again, as you now are, do you have a totally different understanding of who Sandoval was? Like, how has this changed, confirmed, or neutralized your opinion of him?
I mean, I actually want to go back and rewatch. I haven't rewatched the season 10 episodes yet. So it's like, I want to go back from episode 1. I do want to, like, because I'm like, when was the first day of filming? I don't know if I know that, but I want to try to figure that out. I do know the Daily Mail party was in July because I went. So I'm like, okay, I can kind of get a sense of like, if this is the timeline and it's happening in a sequential order. Got it. You know, 7 months, you know, 7 months is like what the word is how long this has been going on. Now, I don't remember, though, because when is Coachella?
When was spring? I want to say in April, maybe. But
and that's
the
thing,
knows?
Because like, I was like, when the Coachella, like, remember the Coachella rumors were about Schwartz and Raquel, right? Or everyone just said Tom and Raquel. But like, was it the wrong Tom?
Yeah.
Like, did someone get it right, but like got it, you know, it got lost in telephone?
I would love for some of those people to come forward. You would think that wherever those rumors started from, if that person saw Sandoval and said, Tom, when these episodes started airing, did any antennas go up, or did they just think that this is going to change at a certain point? Like, if you were a witness to a Tom and Raquel potentially hooking up, making out, whatever it is, and then word gets out that it's Schwartz and it was actually Sandoval, I want to hear from those people who were like, LOL, we meant the other Tom.
Now, well, you were at BravoCon. I didn't get to make it to BravoCon. I mean, Andy Cohen said himself today that he believes that this was going on during BravoCon. That was in October. So, like, when you're thinking back, because now I had gone to the premiere party in February 7th. And now I'm going through even just old phone calls and photos and videos just to see if I saw anything. I do remember Sandoval was kind of a dick, because at the very end of the night when I was leaving, ran into Ariana. We were doing a show together with Ryan Bailey. And so I saw her. I said, can we do a little video for the fans so they'll buy tickets for the, you know, and she's like, of course. And we're standing there and we make a cute video. And I remember, like, you know, Sandoval was like kind of around. And then, like, as soon as I finished filming, he's like, all right, let's get out of here. Let's go. And he was just kind of being like a dick or whatever. But other than that, nothing really stood out. You know, like, I remember at the end of the night, like, Raquel, she seemed really drunk, and we were all outside sitting waiting for our Ubers. And so she was sitting in a chair, just sort of like, you know, I don't think she could stand up. She was just sort of sitting there. But again, she didn't, you know, she left with, I don't know who she left with, but not Tom. And so I don't know, just like, I keep trying to replay these moments when they were around, or even at the Daily Mail party. Cause when she came into the Daily Mail party, she came in with Peter. But there was absolutely no chemistry. You could tell, like, she was no. And then even we saw in the episode, you know, that was when she was like, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember anything that gave me pause at all, a little concerning, honestly, anyone related to VPR at BravoCon. But in watching episodes 2, 3, and 4, which I hadn't seen until last night, I was analyzing them, as I said, on social, because I was, you know, posting my reactions. I was looking at it like the fucking Zapruder film. Like, I was absolutely like, I see this and this and this and this. And Andy himself said, Bravo, on Radio Andy today, he's like, Bravo needs to replay those Watch What Happens lives, because there were so many moments that in the moment felt off. Like, the conversation that Raquel was having with Sheena during a commercial break after they both said, you know, Sandoval is the one who's like most attractive or whatever, instead of, you know, saying Schwartz, which both I think Andy and Sheena expected Raquel to answer with. And Andy himself on Radio Andy was like, something went up in me where I think that in that moment during that break, Sheena started to understand or question what was going on, because he said she seemed genuinely confused about Raquel's answer and behavior. And then the Schwartz and Sandy Watch What Happens is like a fucking masterclass in absolute visible discomfort, which people noticed when the episode aired. But now I think the understanding mm-hmm. of why there was so much discomfort has become somewhat clear.
Mm-hmm. And I just think that it just feels like they wanted to get caught at this point in a way, because it's like the way that they're behaving and like sort of the rumors we're hearing about how they're going to try to spin this, it just seems like they're like ready to say, screw it, we want to be together. And we don't care what anyone has to say, and we're going to let you, and we're going to give our reasons for why. And I think that's why everyone is just so like the reunion ready to just hear what they have to say, because oh my God, this is going to be like the first time they're all in a room together. Like, I'm just sick about it. But what are they going to say? And so rewatching season 3 and just hearing how Sandoval talked about Kristen, right? I think a lot of these same tactics are going to come out because, like, this is what he does. He's going to try to say that it's been over for a while. You know, he's going to try to, you know, use Ariana's mental health as an excuse for why he stuck around. You know, he's going to do these things and it's going to be bullshit. And if he really thinks he's going to get away with it, he does. He has never met a Bravo fan. Like, clearly, you've been so up in your own ass, you don't even get it, dude. Like, we're not buying this shit.
Yeah, and with cameras being up, Page Six put out a piece today that said that the filmed conversation that took place between Sandoval and Ariana that happened in the last couple days left her feeling gaslit. According to sources Ariana spoke with, she said that he was, as you said, as you predicted, saying that he was going to tell her, but he was concerned about her mental health. And I'm just thinking, babe, if you're concerned about your partner of 9 years mental health, maybe don't fuck her friend. Wouldn't that make her feel better at the end of the day? We're pretending that you've thought of Ariana's feelings. Why don't you just admit you obviously have not? It's like the additional toxicity of, it's not my fault you didn't know. I was just trying to protect you in all of the ways I so obviously didn't.
Yeah. It's just classic narcissism 101. Sandoval needs so much attention. And it's just, oh, it's we never saw it in the ways that we can see it now, though we should have. He gave us a lot of signs. He was just, again, able to sort of like hide behind the fact that he was with Ariana. Like, we saw him as this good guy, this good boyfriend. And, you know, like, there was no reason to sort of question these red flags that maybe we had about him. I mean, I still, in my head, I knew he was going to have a season 10 villain season, because when, just in the couple few episodes, you know, the way the things that him and Schwartz were saying, I was like, both the Toms are going to have a really bad villain season. I didn't know it was going to be this level of villain, but yeah.
Could a person argue that this is not necessarily inconsistent for what has happened on Vanderpump Rules prior? There have been other moments of shocking cheating allegations that have come true, betrayal, friends turning on each other, other examples of girl on girl crime. Does this just kind of like fit the universe of VPR for you, or does it really stand the universe on its head?
No, this is classic VPR. And I feel like, I was talking to someone about this weekend, is that we have a whole new wave of VPR followers because of the lockdown, right? You know, people started watching. The show has been on 10 years. People who are in their 20s were maybe not watching it when they were in high school. They don't know these characters. Some of them don't even know who Jax is, which I think is just a travesty, because let's be real. Jax is reality TV gold. But this is what VPR was built on, which is so funny. Look, I've been one of the first to say I would love to see Kristen come back this season. And I know people are like, but she did. I don't care. I want to see Kristen come back this season. I don't need Stassi. She has a whole other thing happening. Kristen would be great. But it is not lost on me that Kristen's given Ariana's all this love when Kristen was Raquel. Kristen slept with her best friend's man on the couch in the house with her boyfriend there sleeping. Like, let's not rewrite history. Let's come on. Like, this is what it was built on.
I think that Candace's song Drive Back is not just a pop sensation. It's also possibly a prophecy, because if we're not watching the sequel to Drive right now, I just don't know what we're doing.
Well, yeah. What are we watching? Exactly. Exactly. This is like everything about it. It just feels so meta. Like, it's just like, are we doing this? Yes, we're doing it. And I love it.
So you would like for Kristen to come back. What are your thoughts on Jax?
I don't really see. I mean, I know people actually sort of were talking about him. I just don't see. He doesn't have any friends. So I don't see how that works its way in. Like, I don't, you know, to come in just to shit on Sandoval. I don't know if I like if that's not necessary. There's plenty of that happening. I guess if Kristen came back, it makes sense because him and Kristen are still friends. So maybe there needs to be that element there. I actually wanted Kristen back last season, and that was only because I knew season 10 we were coming in with a single Lala, a single Katie, and I thought a single Kristen would be fun. She didn't stay because Kristen doesn't stay single. She found a boyfriend really quickly, but yeah, that girl stays having a boyfriend. But I just thought it would be fun to see the, you know, the girlies. And so, you know, season 10, I think it could still work, but yeah, Jax, I don't know. I just don't know how that would fit.
How is this going to work for Sandoval and Raquel in the future? Do you think they will stay together? What do you think? We've heard so many rumors and allegations and leaks, certainly many of them from their camps, trying to alleviate a lot of the strong critiques being leveled their way. What do you anticipate is going to be their move during the reunion, right now, potentially next season?
I mean, if I was on their team, it's like you have two paths. One, you got to just commit to the love. You got to get knocked up. You got to get married. You got to do all the things. Oh, my God.
The literal last thing we need right now is a Sandoval baby. The literal last thing that we need.
I'm just saying that is the path.
It's possible. It's possible.
Where you have to lean into. It's like we got to just like commit to this relationship wholeheartedly and hope that people understand that we did it because it was true love. And then they will come around. That's one path. The other, which is one thing, you know, what we're hearing out there is Raquel's going to play dumb. I mean, I think even Lala went on her stories to say, like, you know, if you try to play this whole play dumb, I want a cut of it because I gave you that dumb persona and you wanted to not claim it because you said you went to college. So playing the dumb role is another path, but that's not going to, she needs to go back and study season 3. She needs to and see how Kristen got her friends back. Honestly, Kristen got her friends back because she just like didn't have friends for a while. And then eventually they all sort of moved on. And you know, Kristen is Kristen, but it wasn't like they did not like her. Katie and Stassi still hated her for a very long time.
Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andyscrolls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today. Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo, and when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth, and when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. Their leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon, c'est bon. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions, just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code AndySgirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. with code Andy's Girls for 10% off today. And thank the Jills Aaron and your life and mine. Do you think Raquel could sustain that kind of pressure and isolation?
No, because I think part of her thing is like she is trying to like be this the number one guy in the group, you know, like she wants to be at the top. And so she's a pageant girl. She is a drop dead gorgeous pageant girl style. Like she clawed her way into the series and she's leaving no man standing.
And yet what I think has been most bothersome to me, aside from all of it, and there have been even more updates coming out today. It's just going to be constantly changing and shifting and adjusting. Thank God for social media in that way, for our like rapid response teams to get the word out of whatever the fuck is going on. But what has been so upsetting to me, aside from all of it, is the fact that Raquel and Tom both went out of their way in the last week to talk about how supportive Ariana has been, how great she is. Minutes before Ariana found out what was going on, Tom was giving an interview to a friend of the pod, Evan Real, for Page Six at his concert, which I kicked off the special episode that just went up of AGVPR, talking about, you know, responding with essentially support about how theirs is like the healthiest relationship that's ever existed in VPR, and because we support each other and we listen to each other and everything else. Do you think that at a certain point when you're engaged in a long-term affair that you just sort of believe this? Like, how can Raquel go on a podcast literally in the past week talking about her appreciation for her friendship with Ariana? Does she believe that she is appreciating her friend because she's saying the words out loud when she's fucking that person's boyfriend?
No, she's just using her pageant training to say exactly what she knows she needs to say in that moment. But like what she's really feeling, she's never going to show. And like the sad thing is like she's probably they're getting off on it, like, because like it makes the relationship hotter, right? Like the sex isn't going to be good now. I just hope the two of them know the sex is going to suck now. Because it was only really, really good because you were doing some devious, dastardly shit.
Okay, listen, we've heard Tom Sandoval's music. There's literally no way he knows what to do with his hands, let alone any other part of his body. It was never good. I literally was talking about this with a friend who was like, they don't know good. Like, it's what it was, I'm sure, hot and whatever else for them. They got off. Not only on getting off, but on all of these winks that they made to each other. And people are asking, are they going to show regret or remorse? And I'm thinking, how could they if for months, allegedly, they're wearing fucking thunderbolts to signify their love for each other? If they're doing all of these winks on camera and seemingly laughing on and off, if they are going out of their way to show their humor about all of this over the course of several months, why would we think that they would give a single fuck about understanding that this was not great? It's not just that they were betraying Ariana. They were having fun doing it.
Yeah. And that's really gross. No, but I legit want to know, like, I want to know the story behind the lightning bolts. Like, did they go buy these together? Did one of them buy them and give it to the other one? Like, what did they say? Like, you know, when they had these things, like, I need to understand. And like, I also need to understand, like, did Ariana notice that the two of them were wearing, you know, matching necklaces? And did it give her any pause? Like, and that's why I'm like, okay, let's say Raquel bought the matching necklaces. Like, what if there is a third one that she gave to Ariana we just don't know about? Like, just to make it, you know, who knows? Who knows? I don't know. I'm sure we would have seen it if it happened. So it probably doesn't exist. But I just need to understand these little stories of, yeah, when they were doing these things, when he's supposedly sneaking out of guest rooms because she's spending the night at their house and saying, I'm just going to get a cup of water. Like, huh? What? No. Like, I don't even, like, I've known married couples, obviously, and, like, we've gone on trips together and we stay. Let me tell you something. I wear the most grandma pajamas. Like, you know, sexy pajamas do not enter the suitcase if you're staying with a couple anywhere. You're wearing like a whole onesie situation. You're wearing socks. You're wearing the most Golden Girls minus Blanche, you know, situation. So I'm like, is she walking around the house? I have so many just thoughts of like what was happening. And yeah, were they stealing secret kisses when, you know, like, oh, it just, I can't. And I know that's probably what's running through Ariana's head too this whole time.
And, you know, you shared your experience being with someone who cheated on you when you were in a relationship with them. You shared that on social media, which I thought was incredibly meaningful to read about, because I think a lot of people are bringing their own histories and perspectives into how they are receiving all of the news that's coming out about this. If you were Ariana, how would you be processing all of this without or including thinking about the entirety of a relationship being built on a foundation where, like, this person that you literally created a home with has wrecked it in this way? Like, how do you process that? And how do you stop yourself from spiraling over wondering, like, were there signs?
I don't think you can. And the worst part of it, and this is the part that I'm spiraling about, is we know that Ariana has trust issues from her previous relationship because she's talked about it on camera. You know, like, I always think about, you know, when she was with the girls and she was like scared of like her vagina not being pretty because her ex, you know, used to tell her, you know, it was ugly and all of this stuff. And I just keep thinking, like, that's why, like, if Sandoval even tries to go there with the, like, the sex thing or, you know, all of these different things, I'm like, don't even do it, because you're doing it because you know that this is her pain point and you're going to try to exploit it. And fuck you if you try to fucking go there. But like, her trust is going to be like, oh, so damaged even further, because it's just compounded. It's just compounded now by this dude who did it to her and did it to her so publicly.
Yeah. During a season in which infidelity, I mean, listen, infidelity is the thread that runs through VPR, but in watching how these people are reacting or processing even boundaries as a plot point this season, Raquel talking about how Sandoval taught her boundaries. My goodness, I just, wow, what a class that was. I mean, I feel like extra credit obviously took place in that. I like, what is it? It's, you are telling us you've passed this test, and now we find out, fuck, man, like, you couldn't have failed it more.
Yeah, it's, again, she's giving the pageant girl answers, which, by the way, speaking of pageants, if you've gone to Raquel's page, which she surprisingly has still not turned off comments, which I just don't understand, because it says a lot to her, because that to me says, like, you really kind of don't care that you're getting this attention, that it's negative. But anyways, there's like a highlight reel on there from, I think, like 39 weeks ago in her final competition that she can compete in because she's too old after this. And Tom and Ariana there are all there to support her. And she's doing like, she does like thing where she comes out on a surfboard in this ugly bathing suit. And she's like, you know, pretending to surf on the stage, because I guess that's what happens. And that's how you get points in pageants. But all this to say is, like, that's how good of a friend Ariana was. Off camera, nobody's filming. She went to your pageant to watch you on a surfboard, fake surfboard, for your final pageant. Nobody wants to do that on their Saturday or whenever the hell it happened. But she did it. That's how good of a friend she is. And you're either shortly after or during this time screwing her man.
And that's where, like, the flaunting it comes in, because what the fuck are you doing even extending an invitation? Is it because you want to make sure that people are thinking that you guys are just in a friend circle and that's all there is? Or is the guy that you're having an affair with intentional in wanting to be there? And this is part of the fun, is to have this other person there who is seemingly unaware of what is taking place. And that's, again, another way to feast upon the betrayal.
I don't think she, I will say this. I don't think she can be that calculated, because I actually think she's very limited in her. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the TikTok going around about the girl who went to Sir and Raquel was her server, and she was asking about mushrooms. Did you see that one?
No, I didn't. Tell me.
So this girl said she, you know, was like, doesn't like mushrooms, but she can eat them if they're really finely chopped up and they're in. She doesn't notice that they're actual mushrooms. But if they're huge sliced mushrooms, she doesn't want them. So there was this pasta that said it had mushrooms. So she asked Raquel, you know, is this like mushrooms loosely in the dish, or is it finely cut up mushrooms inside of the pasta? And Raquel like looked at her and was like, I'll be back. And then she said she came back and just confidently said, the pasta dish is served warm.
What?
So like, I don't think that she's firing at all synapses. So I don't think it's that calculated. What I will say, because look, this is another thing. I am not holier than thou. I have never cheated on anyone that I've been with. I have been inadvertently the other woman. So I've been in that situation.
Wow.
And when you're younger, I will say when you're younger, there's a lot that you just go like, She's still 28, though, so that's still not, like, I feel like I'm talking young, like 21, 22.
Yeah.
But, you know, in your 20s, you kind of just, sometimes you don't give a fuck. And I've known people who have purposely been the other person. And what I will say is when those people had to be around the significant other because those people were in their lives, it was more that they just had to keep the show going because it would have been really weird for them to not invite that person because they've always invited that person. Well, why would they have stopped inviting that person? It was, you know, it wasn't to like sort of get off or anything. It was just like they had to keep the show going.
Yeah. I mean, you think about any of those pyramid scheme folks, or we're thinking a little Jen Shah of it all and Girardi and all of that. And not to compare the situations, which are not comparable, but just to think the ways that fraud can be a part of a person's life, either in financial crimes or in crimes of the heart. There is certainly the masquerade moment, right? Of like, this is a performance and maybe you're on autopilot. I think what Lala was attempting to say in those Instagram stories was like, she's dumb like a fox. And I think people are throwing out insults about Raquel's intelligence, which are like neither here nor there, although I'm sure there are many moments like the ones that happened with that mushroom meal. But it's, to me, maybe this is unfair, but like unrelated when it comes to her emotional intelligence. I have no understanding, nor would I pretend to be able to get an understanding of her sense of emotional maturity. I think you can be, I think you can be all different kinds of people with all different kinds of processing, communicating, and receiving information and relationships, and not proceed to betray your friend. Because while Tom Sandoval is the person who was in the relationship with Ariana, I think the point here that's particularly upsetting to people is that it's a double betrayal, because Ariana and Raquel both talked about how they have become close friends. Mm-hmm. And there's like, keep your, you know, friends close and enemies closer. Well, what happens when it turns out that that friend was an enemy, maybe not always from the jump, but, you know, it turns out they actually truly were ideally the antithesis of what a person would define as a friend.
And like, while I have less feelings that that was Raquel's motive, because I truly do in this sick way think that she thought that her and Ariana were friends, which is just what makes it so weird. Going back to, you know, the rewatch, I am starting to feel that way about Sandoval. Mm. I am starting to feel that way about him and James and this like almost this long game that he had of like never liking James and this being this weird, weird get back in a way. But I'm still exploring that. But what I will say is like, you know, back to the whole emotional intelligence is that Raquel is definitely aware enough to know that she was hurt when James cheated on her. And she was enough to this season that she's still bringing it up when she found out about Lala to his new girlfriend, Allie. So she's fully aware of how that felt. So, yeah.
And where does Schwartz factor into all of this?
I mean, look, he knew. Look, let's, and I don't know when he knew. And I know that Sandoval had put out that statement saying he just found out recently. I think all of us have now seen that red carpet interview where, you know, that was February 7th because that was at the premiere party.
And tell us a little bit about that interview.
I mean, this was an interview where the interviewer was asking Sandoval, you know, what's the deal with these open relationship rumors? Because in the trailer, you know, that's one of the things that we haven't even really gotten to. I mean, that's still, we have 10 more episodes to go. So, and we're getting a new one added at the end with all of this drama. But the relationship, open relationship rumors, which again is going to be one of the things that I think Tom's team is going to try to spin is that him and Ariana were in this open relationship. But before the season start, Ariana quick tweeted. She was like, this is absolutely not true. So if he says they're in an open relationship, it was not a mutually open relationship. And then the interviewer makes a joke about like, if you could be in a throuple with anyone from the cast, who would you be? And just Schwartz is over there. Like he has to like hold his hand on his mouth. It's like he has to contain himself because you just, he wants to blurt it out and he keeps saying things like, well, weren't you already in one? And you could see Sandoval looking at him like, are you crazy? But then he like is like, you know, in season 5, you know, when him, Lala and Ariana hooked up, and then Sandoval awkwardly laughs, and like looking at it through this lens, we're like, those two know, and they're trying to just not say it. Like, but like they're both probably had a few drinks in them, and it's like coming off really obviously that they knew. So, you know, look, I have my theories. Like, did Schwartz just go along with this whole like, I'll take the one for the team and I'd rather, you know, make Katie think that we're making out just so that, you know, we can hide it because I'm your boy. I believe it. The way they've been covering for each other since 2012 and before that, before this show even started. I believe it. I think that they would do anything to cover for one another.
And their Watch What Happens was February 8th, which is a literal month ago.
Mm-hmm.
February 8th, and their behavior during that episode, specifically Schwartz's behavior, is so fucking strange.
Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, yeah, that feels like then if, okay, so if that party, so if that red carpet interview is February 7th and Watch What Happens February 8th, then definitely after that red carpet interview, Sandoval was probably like, dude, like you were not cool. And then they probably like, you know, get on a plane together. They're like joking about it or whatever. And then it's just, yeah. And then they keep it moving. Yeah. Let's rewatch. But we gotta rewatch that. Watch What Happens Live.
Literally, I watched it last night for the first time and was like, what the fuck? Because I had, you know, the benefit or burden of not having seen it live. So I unfortunately don't have the moment of like thinking to myself, huh, that was different. And, you know, wondering if something was up. I can assure you that if I had watched it at that moment and had thought something was off, it never would have occurred to me of what we now know was going on. I can guarantee you it never would have entered my mind, because there is a Patreon episode that Dylan Hafer and I recorded in the moments immediately when word got out and we found out just the initial what was going on. And the entire time I'm just trying to process Raquel. Like I'm trying to process Sandoval and Ariana, and I'm trying to process that this like involves a member of the cast, which is just honestly, listen, you know, VPR examples being what they are, it's just so fucking shocking to me. It really is.
And but I do love that just the world to know like all the famous people that watches VPR is also just a fun thing, because you're just like, I love that Chrissy Teigen is just as consumed by this. I love that Jerry O'Connell is just as consumed by this. Like, you know, AD Bryant, like everyone's tweeting out pictures of support for Ariana. Like, I love it.
We're all reacting like what happens when, God forbid, there's like a tragic celebrity, whatever, and everyone posts their special memories and photos. I was looking through my phone last night and pulling out photos of when I interacted with Ariana, when I interviewed her backstage at Watch What Happens. Like, just like, I'm like, oh, my God, that happened. And then because I want to like celebrate her heart, because I feel like they're. For her emotional experience, I'm sure she's processing this like the death of her relationship, like a form of enormous grief. And people want to rally for her. And also, Bravoholics are far and fucking wide. We are everywhere. And I feel like we are everyone.
Well, I've been waiting for Rihanna's post, because, you know, I know she loves all of the VPR. And I'm like, I know she's busy. She's pregnant. She's going to hear this news, and I feel like she has to say something.
Yes. And speaking of news and saying something, obviously there's a lot of rumors and speculation going out, and updates by the day. Allegedly Sandoval and Raquel spent Christmas together. They went out on dates and wore disguises, which, sidebar, you're pretending to like wear a disguise when you're going out on a date, but you dressed as her for Halloween while you guys were fucking. So like, what's bringing more attention, the Halloween outfit or you wearing a purple hat? Like, I don't. And allegedly they're concerned and upset that because of this, they won't be able to go to Coachella together next month. Like,
I believe that. I absolutely believe that's their top concern, because they love Coachella. Like, I've never met people who love Coachella more. Have you? Like,
you could not pay me to go there. I don't want to be near dirt or sand. I don't want glitter on my face. Leave that for the shoes or dress. I don't want to be dirty. I unfortunately don't want to be high. Like, I just, it's not, I don't want to be, I mean, we're talking about all these videos of him like carrying her around and her gyrating on his shoulders. Absolute nightmare situation across the board. Even if nothing was going on, you couldn't drag me there. You literally couldn't drag me there.
I always go, like, I like to go to Nochella. I've only done it maybe once or twice, because I love Palm Springs. And so, like, if, like, I would have friends that maybe had to go for, like, you know, they worked for a brand, they had to go, or they just wanted, and I would be like, I'm going to stay at the house and be in the pool for my Nochella. Have fun.
Is there a world in which, you know, these people stay on the show, they're still dating or they're not, and relationships are able to be repaired? Or what do we think is going to happen, and what's the impact on other members of the cast?
Well, I absolutely hope they come back for season 11. I mean, if not, I would be highly disappointed. There's definitely going to be no friendships, though. Like, it will be Tom and Tom and Raquel if that continues. I think that I can't even think of any other person that's going to have any sort of sympathy towards that. So, and I mean, luckily they don't work. Well, actually, it's not luckily. If they still had to work at the restaurant together, that's what forces those people to interact. That was the only thing that forced them to interact. Since they don't have to work together, I just see it, you know, being some separated scenes, and we, you know, we follow one story here and we follow one story there, and maybe they'll, you know, try to force phone calls or sit downs for, you know, apologies between Raquel. You know, I don't know if Ariana would even want to hear that, but I hope and pray that all of them come back for season 11. I want to see it all.
And you wonder, because obviously one of the plot points that has been a part of any number, possibly all of the Housewives franchises across the land, is the idea that I don't want to film with her. And I wonder how that works when obviously there's a processing here that's going to take place on camera. It is reality TV. This is a very real circumstance that's currently happening. But like, what happens when this person who you thought was your friend is still a member of the cast? Like, would Ariana ever film in the same room with her again?
You know, I would doubt, I would highly doubt it, but we do know that Ariana and Tom own that house together. And here's the fucked up thing. It's a terrible time to sell house. It's actually it's a terrible time to sell right now. There was a major drop.
Oy.
So, I mean, I don't know if that matters to them. Like, it might not matter. Like, I'm just still going to sell this house. But like, you know, what if they were like, she was like, I don't know, I'm going to stay in this house and you're going to just, or are we going to rent it? Or, you know, I would love if Katie and Ariana moved in that house together. And then, you know what I'm saying? Wouldn't that be amazing?
Oh my God, I would literally love that. And where is Katie living now?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm assuming Katie...
She has an apartment, right?
Yeah, I think she probably moved into an apartment somewhere. So it's like, I don't know. It just seems like, I don't know. But then again, they are business partners. To live and work together would be a lot. But honestly, in your first year, it's kind of sometimes necessary. Like, it seems crazy, but you're just together so much anyways. I mean, I would love to see it. I'd love to see... Cause yeah, we actually don't need them to film together. We got to watch Ariana and Katie get the sandwich shop open. We want to see Tom dragging his, you know, band equipment into some tiny, I want him to move back into that apartment that he lived in with Kristen. the broken microwave that used to knock out the electricity. Like, I want him to have to move back into there with his band equipment. And then Raquel has to move in there too. And then, you know, I want Katie to just like end all rights to the dog. There's no more. She just keeps the dog. And, you know, Graham has to go to James. Just kidding.
Oh, God, that custody battle. No, I'm gonna heat the fuck up.
I'm also not going to revise history for James. Like, let's be real. Like, I know that James is having a great time with this too, but like, you were also a cheater pumpkin eater. Like, stop it.
James has been eating out this week.
Yeah.
If you look at his Instagram. You know, Schwartz and Sandys put out a statement that was like, this isn't, you know, there are innocent parties who work at the restaurant. And this is an unfortunate situation. The Toms have made a significant amount of income and celebrity, not only being united together, literally Tom, Schwartz and Sandys, a big part of those businesses is like their likeness, persona, and in some ways reputation. Do you think Schwartz and Sandys can withstand that? Like, what is a Bravo fan supposed to consider when they're thinking about where they want to spend their money to feel like a part of the VPR universe?
I've gone back and forth about this because it's like, at first I was like, oh my God, like Schwartz and Sandys is going to go under. And then I was like, but is it like, I don't know, like, are people gonna, I just feel like we look at car accidents and like, people are going to be like, even if they don't want to take a picture with him anymore and be all like, eh, they might still be like, but I'm nosy. I want to see if Raquel's there. I want to see if he's there. Like, part of me feels like that is still going to exist. It just sucks because, you know, we saw that the other partner, Greg, he was responding in the comment section of it. And as we learned on the last episode, like, he doesn't really have any skin in this game. Like, he hasn't put any of the money up. So it's kind of like annoying that he's sort of like, you know, this shouldn't affect the restaurant, because really the only pockets it's affecting are Tom and Tom and the employees. And like, I always feel bad. Like, I want the employees to have a job. And you know, someone made a comment that I pinned under one of my posts where it was like, do you look up all your restaurants to see if the owners were cheating? And I was kind of like, that's a good point, because I don't, right? Here's what I know about restaurant world, because I've worked in hospitality, is they're all sluts. Everyone in hospitality is a slut. Everyone's sleeping together. That's why I love hospitality. It's a big party scene. I stayed in it for a long time because it's fun. But, you know, like, so I know, I've known owners who cheat. Like, it happens all the time. And I still ate at those restaurants. People were like, but this was built on their brand. So you can't, it's not like it was built off blood, sweat, and tears. And then this guy happened to cheat. It was built off this brand. And we associate that brand with this restaurant. So I get that too. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to fare. Because restaurants are already, it's hard to make money in restaurants, period.
Yeah, so, just ask Sandoval's mom. His mom invested $250,000 with his stepdad. Imagine what conversation is going to take place at the next investor's call when you're trying to figure out, because, like, ultimately, Bravo fans are not responsible for ensuring that Tom Sandoval continues to be a success. And people have the right to decide to not financially support his bad behavior when his name is on the door. And I personally think that Greg has a lot of skin in this game. He's not necessarily covering the overhead every month as the two other guys are, but he's probably not only picking up the slack that these two relatively inexperienced people as bar owners aren't understanding. And he's also the one day to day who's managing these teams. I'm guessing when the word got out and this whole thing exploded, the employees are not necessarily contacting one of the Toms, they're probably contacting Greg, who's not only trying to troubleshoot what this means for getting the business off the ground, but the impact with the people day to day. And also their names on the door. Like,
yeah,
what are you supposed to do with that?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Like, I legit, like, don't know what's going to happen with that place, because you can't just, like, rebrand it. I mean,
you can't, because the reason that it's opened is because of the Toms. And this is why morality, I got into this on the survival episode. It's why morality contracts exist with a number of prominent individuals. Obviously, the Toms are not, like, thinking about contracts in that way, as we saw on the most recent episode, and we'll see, or in the scenes for the one coming up. But it's like, this is a very real thing that has landed far more famous people in a lot of financial hurt.
Yeah, you know what's interesting, though? You know, I understand morality clauses. I truly do. But it toes a fine line for me anytime people bring up morality, because what's moral? As we've learned in Tennessee, they think that drag queens are immoral, right? But not guns. But anyways, don't get, like, let me not go there. But, like, it's interesting because we just talked about that they are on a show that exists.
That's a great point.
Because of affairs and cheating and all of this stuff. But yet they have to run a business in the real world that is affected by it. I don't know. It doesn't seem fair. And look, I want to give Tom Sandoval all the shit in the world, right? I do. There are certain places, though, I'm going to push back of, like, hey guys, like, this is, like, you don't have to go to his restaurant, but do we have to sink it to make a point? I don't think that we necessarily need to sink it to make a point. We just don't go there. And we can, there's so many other things we can ruin him on. We definitely don't have to go to the Sandy Schwartz and whatever, the Sandovalian, what is his band name?
The Most Extras, which was named after his personality type. It is way too fucking extra.
We definitely don't have to go to the shows. Or if you want to pay $40 to go to the show and throw tomatoes, that's, you could also do that. Don't.
James taking to Instagram to suggest certain types of tomato to throw. He literally did that.
Oh, God. But yeah, you know, it's like, I just think it's interesting because Bravo is going to make a lot of money off of this scandal. And for Tom's mom to lose her investment over it, it doesn't equal and balance in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the person who's ultimately responsible for that, it's you know, when you think about Bravo raking in the cash from this, absolutely that's going to happen. That also is the benefit of investing in this very fucked up circle of friends. Like, you can rake in a lot of success in storyline and chaos and everything else when these friends befriending in the ways that they are. And I just think when it comes to, you know, Schwartz and Sandy's, to me, there's like a very big difference for people leaving 0-star Yelp reviews, which will impact the brand, which is why Yelp has now suspended without actually visiting to fuck with the business, versus just simply not supporting it. Because, you know, Sandoval wasn't thinking about his employees, or was but didn't care. We have no idea. Or was just thinking with his dick and like calculated mind, whatever was going on, we really don't know, nor will we maybe ever, because I don't know that he's honest enough with himself to accept being the villain, even though you would assume his actions have already written that book. But like, there's a difference between, you know, it's like there are consequences for actions, and there's a difference to me between trying to drag the business versus dragging Tom. But also, it's, you know, there, I'm sure there's a lot of tension, I'm sure, and a certain amount of chaos with what's going on with Schwartz and Sandy's, and maybe even Tom too. And that is that's at the end of the day on Sandoval, and also P.S. a little bit on Schwartz, who is the other Tom here, who maybe knew what the fuck was going on at whatever point. Maybe we'll hear about that. Maybe we'll hear him saying, maybe don't have this affair. Maybe think about your employees. Maybe think about the money your mom invested in this. Or maybe that didn't, you know, come to anybody's mind. It's so fucked up. It's really so fucked up.
Mm-hmm. And you actually also just got me thinking when you were saying, like, you know, this is like Tom's fault too. As we're watching the rest of this season, or even actually as I go back and rewatch, you know, the earlier episodes, like, now I want to see, because him and Katie obviously have a lot of back and forth about this whole Raquel thing. And I'm almost like, want to look at it as like, is he getting annoyed with Sandoval that he's having to put up with this bullshit, because he did know. And it was, I don't know. I'm going to be looking at this from so many angles. It's like this is our Olympics.
Also, it literally is our Olympics. If the timeline is correct and they started this affair during filming, and let's say Schwartz didn't know during that time, what does that mean for like the juggling of all of this? So like, maybe the Schwartz and Raquel thing was real, or maybe not, but it wasn't real for the reasons people are now suspecting. And like, the commingling of all of this is just so fucking strange. It's just so strange.
Right. Because if I remember correctly, the episode we're about to see tonight isn't this Raquel making out with Oliver Garcelle's son?
I think being introduced to him at least.
So it's like, there's like that whole added element of like, when did that happen? And again, like, we're going to probably see the girls all coming to her rescue, because she's going to be like, I didn't even know he was married. You know, he told me something else. And then, but now, and where we believed it before, now where we might be like, but did you?
Yeah. Or like the pretending to care. Some of that we've felt a little off about when it came to like the obvious discomfort she had with attempting to flirt with Peter. And it's like, okay, were you not feeling that because you weren't feeling this? Or were you not feeling that because you weren't feeling this because you were feeling something for somebody else? It's fucking everything up. I feel like I could talk to you about this for hours, and I think we technically have.
Oh, shit.
Lord knows there's a lot of updates that will continue to occur that you guys can check out on Kiki's social and some of my blather on mine as well. I do want to ask you, because technically Potomac aired last night.
Yes.
And some stuff happened. What's your reaction to what we watched, the Robin extra scene addition in this technically 90-minute ep. What was your reaction to what was aired?
You know, it was so interesting watching that, you know, unseen footage of Andy asking Robin about, you know, Juan and this other woman on the heels of all of this coming out about Tom and Ariana, because it's like, here you have a woman who is confronted with this has gone down and being like, I'm about to go scorched earth. And then here you have Robin who is confronted yet again. This is not a first time yet again with, I would say, some of the most incriminating evidence of a man being deceitful and making excuses. And all I could think was, you know, one day when her and Juan break up again, because I'm sorry, like, this is where this is headed, you're just going to watch yourself saying these words. Because again, this woman had receipts with Juan's credit card information, and you're telling me she came to Maryland for some reason. What do you mean some reason? Let's say she was dating this Baltimore Ravens player, as Juan tells you. Well, wouldn't she come to see him, and wouldn't he be responsible for her if she lost her credit card? Why would Juan be responsible? And then when Andy asks her, you know, did you ask to see the correspondence? And she said, well, no. I mean, I just trusted what he said. Why would you trust what he said? Because you've already proven in the past that he has lied to you and there has been infidelity. So if there's a hint of it in the future, you, of course, would want to see the correspondence, unless you want to remain woefully ignorant because you don't want this relationship to end, which we've all been there. We just said, I want to turn a blind eye because I know I don't want to leave him. So I don't want to actually know the truth. And that's what it felt like. And so I felt sorry for her because it felt like she feels like she has no other options. Or she feels guilty because she knows if she leaves him, he's going to be screwed and she can't be there to take care of him. There's either way, there is a unhealthy balance of her feeling like the need to protect him. And I feel sorry for her, but, you know, so at this point, that's why I just am not interested to see her in future episodes, only because,
wow,
if you're just going to continue down this road and there's no exploring this, then we don't need to see it anymore.
Well, she seems to have an allergic reaction to trust but verify. Why does trusting exclude the verification of information, especially when you're saying this is something we had to work through? You had to work through what? You're saying you didn't ask to see any of these messages. For what reason? Or did you ask but he refused to share them with you, which you won't share with us? Like, you can trust someone and say, because I'm going to trust you, I will continue this conversation with you, but mm-hmm. I'm going to need to see what happened.
Yeah. I mean, because you're the one over here bringing speakers to tables to make sure that Candace is held accountable for every last word she said in the history of time.
Yeah. And it's yet again, much like her blaming Karen for not getting involved in Miami, she keeps referencing, well, I would have responded to it had Karen brought it up. But it's like, babe, Karen did bring up questions about why this wedding seemed to feel off to her, why it wasn't happening. So, like, you can't say, well, if only this thing happened, that did in fact happen, I would have been honest about this information that I was withholding, except I was being honest. I wasn't withholding because it happened before filming. But of course, there was an impact on filming because my storyline was based on why my wedding wasn't happening and Karen asking questions about it. But because she didn't say specific words in a sentence that I would approve in my head as a way to share and release information, which was Karen's primary responsibility here, it's like in her head, her processing or defense or defensiveness shifts all of the responsibility, deflecting all of it away from Juan, which I think is a really unfortunate window into how their relationship works.
Agreed. And it's like, I just sadly, I mean, look, they've been together since high school. I just think that this is like the only dynamic she unfortunately knows. And again, I feel sorry for her.
Yeah, I also feel like she doesn't believe what she's saying. And that's the most unfortunate part. If someone, listen, we're having a conversation, as you said, about infidelity across the board, and people have worked through instances of infidelity before in their relationship. Certainly, I'm sure it changes the dynamic of a relationship potentially, but it's absolutely possible to make the decision together to work through this. It doesn't absolve your memory, but there is the possibility to continue or reset dynamics around a relationship that's entirely up to the two people involved. And it's like Robin's referencing counseling, and I'm just not understanding what she is in counseling for. She says premarital counseling, and we work through this, and I just continue to think, like, what is the this here? It's, there's a level of defensiveness in processing information, which I think is a huge part of healing, an acknowledgement that there's something to heal from.
And I'll be honest, I don't believe that Juan is attending these counseling sessions because he won't even show up to a reunion. Like, I just don't think that he is. I think that, like, yeah, I think that she's showing up to counseling sessions and working through this with some counselor and taking it back to him and saying the counselor says this and, you know, da 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 da. And he's like, he doesn't care.
Yeah, I don't know what support looks like in their relationship, except to say that it does not look like one in which support is a primary objective or actionable item on the list of what's going on with their dynamics. I do want to shift and just ask you about the Giselle, Candace, Chris of it all, since the most recent episode included the husbands sharing their thoughts. And what was your reaction to what Chris communicated essentially for the first time in his voice about his reaction to what was discussed during the season and Giselle's processing around that?
I think that this was another moment where a lot of the Bravo fans collectively were all siding with the Bassetts, which was hard for people like me who were not Candace fans, but we can't, you know, like we are reasonable people at the same time. Like, we might not like, you know, a lot of the things you've done, but like this moment we know is completely messed up and we're going to have your back in this moment. So it was like, it was nice to see that, like, because I was questioning myself and so I had to ask other people who were not Candace fans. And I'm like, okay, we're all feeling the same way. So it was nice in that way. And I just really hated so much how Ashley and Giselle tried to make these things that were so innocuous look gross. Because as someone who is a single woman, I will tell you, it is difficult sometimes to be friends with people who are married because they're distrustful of you as a single person. And that doesn't happen so much anymore because I just think like I have a much more evolved and mature group of people around me. But I would say in the younger days when I was single, it was really, really weird. And it's exactly that sort of how she was behaving is exactly why maybe married men don't want to have a conversation with me, because then they don't want to get accused. You know, literally, Chris responded to a story of Ashley out partying. He is overseeing the rooftop at this, you know, hotel and was like, oh, you should have come here. That's totally a normal conversation to have, because if I was running a rooftop hotel and one of my reality star friends on the show was out partying in the neighborhood, I'd be like, yeah, come here, because then people will come to this rooftop and know it's really popping on Saturday nights or whatever. And for her to use that to try to make him seem skeevy was messed up. It was not cool. And again, this all reflects back on, you know, Giselle and Ashley have had terrible relationships on the show that we've watched play out. Mm-hmm. And Candace has been a big part of calling them out on it, which, again, I get it. They're harboring some feelings about it. They want to be able to get back at her. That wasn't the way to get back at her, is accusing her husband of being inappropriate. That is so damaging. And I definitely didn't like, you know, Giselle not wanting to own her saying, like, what he did to me. It's, get it. I get it with semantics. What you're saying he did to you was make you feel uncomfortable, but he did not do anything to you. And she wanted to play around with words. And so I get it. I get why Candace was not okay with that. And so, look, when she popped off on her, I was there for it. Should she have called her a white looking, you know, woman? No, she probably shouldn't have said that. But I understood her point. I understood the point she was trying to make. So I was like, you know, look, Candace has called me a troll. I know she can't control her mouth.
Yeah, it's wild to support her while I still have her blocked on all social. It's like, I know, an interesting, right? thing it where is. I'm like, I don't see anything that you're doing, and I gotta Google your Twitter to find out what's going on there. But I absolutely do support what you're saying when it comes to intent versus impact, because Giselle's continued focus not only on Chris is responsible for potential optics of cheating, which is what she repeatedly said during the season, but also her pretending to take responsibility for what she said, what Ashley said, what several members of the cast joked about throughout the course of the season, and then say, well, I'm apologizing now. It's like, Giselle didn't go out of her way to say, before this conversation starts, I want to acknowledge what I said when I watched these episodes and the fact that I misunderstood or misinterpreted or, you know, took this and ran with it. It's not like she was volunteering that information because she had processed the impact of it. Obviously, Candace had already communicated to her. Chris, I'm sure, had already communicated. It was aware of, Giselle was aware of what she was saying and how it was landing, let alone being shown. And she wasn't going to take a single step unless it had kind of been forced upon her, which I thought was a really cringe look.
And I also didn't like, you know, I used to do a pod called I'm Sorry, and we analyze how people apologize. The fact that she won't say I'm sorry and kept saying I apologize. Anyone who says I apologize, it's never a sincere apology. If you can't say the words I am sorry for, you're not sincerely apologizing.
Because she doesn't understand what she should be saying sorry for. And she will then quickly be like, oh, well, you know, that specific sneaky link stuff I'm going to apologize for. But you need to apologize for making me feel a certain way, or for potentially making me feel a certain way when I think about the general atmosphere. And then I'm, you know, in response to that, I'm really thankful that Chris brought up the sexualization around his genitalia. Uh-huh. Because I don't know that Giselle was willing to process the ways that Chris has been sexualized. Like, Giselle is attempting to sexualize an idea that a person might think about an environment of speaking to someone, and she sexualized his body how many times? Which has nothing to do with, to me, anything that Candace has said. Because Giselle made those choices to continue doing that, to literally draw his dick. So if we're going to talk about mm-hmm. the level of harm, intent versus impact, you've got both when it comes to what Giselle has done. And the lack of acknowledgement there is tough.
Yeah, because in that situation, it wasn't just Chris, I'm sure, who felt uncomfortable every time you kept... The entire audience was... I hated every time she kept talking about his dick. I was like, please stop. That is so uncalled for and inappropriate. Why are we... We're past that.
What are your thoughts on Giselle kind of moving forward?
The season left me feeling flat. It's like, I've always loved Potomac, but it left me feeling flat. Karen had a flop of a reunion, and I love Karen, but like flop. Candace should have absolutely been seated next to Andy because she was the one that was giving. Look, Mia even gave, and I will say that like the delusion of Mia is like, it's funny. Like it still has like a bit of like early Brandy Glanville years. I'm talking early Brandy Glanville, like delusion. And like in a way that's like, she's not faking stuff. Like she may be faking her life a little bit, but like those things are really happening. Like her company is like in shambles and like all of those things. And so watching that play out because she just talks about it so much would actually be entertaining because she'd share it. Like what the truth of it will eventually come out, but she'll share whatever is like happening in her from her point of view. So I'd still watch that. I don't know where we go. Like obviously Candace needs Wendy because they're kind of, you know, like Wendy really is like, that's who her confidant is. I don't know where we go with her though, because I guess I'm just trying to figure out like, other than just following like her growing her businesses, and she does have a strong marriage. And so that's always nice to have like someone who has a stable relationship on the show. I'm sure they could figure something out. I don't know how, maybe it's that Robin has to become a friend of because she can't, I just don't know, because her and Giselle are just going to protect each other and lie for each other and not share storylines and make a whole pact going into the season about who they're going to go after. And they're going to stick to that word. And I just need someone who's going to like shake it up, you know. Unfortunately, as much as I would love to see Katie Ross come back, I don't think that mentally that she would be able to handle that right now based on what I'm seeing her post. So I don't think that that would work. I don't know if there is like someone in Potomac. They probably have to introduce someone who will give Giselle, who will shake it up. Someone who's known Giselle from back in the day. Someone who knows Giselle's secrets. Because for some reason, even though I feel like Karen knows some of the secrets, she's not like, it doesn't, it's not like it was early that season one where she was willing to come at it the same way. And I think it's almost because Giselle knows her secret, so she doesn't want it pinging back to her. But I would love someone who just kind of like knew Giselle when she was married to the pastor, kind of like, and just in that Potomac, and who would make Giselle a little scared. And I think that might make it an interesting season.
Kiki, I'm so obsessed with you. You know what a big fan I am of your content, your voice, your perspective. You're coming back ASAP because P.S. Real Housewives of New Jersey is happening, and we couldn't get anywhere near the Teresa and Melissa talk on this episode. And let's pretend that I strategize that so that I can have you back ASAP, because Lord knows the world of Bravo is always changing. News is always coming out. It's this universe we almost can't escape from at this point. But I love being in the bubble with you, and I love, love, love following your voice. So please come back on the people's couch a la Zoom AG Kiki immediately, because I am dying to continue the conversation.
Sounds like a plan.
In the meantime, where can people follow you? What's going on? What do we got cooking? What's happening?
You can always find my thoughts at The Talk of Shame on IG and TikTok.
And YouTube.
And I do have a YouTube. I have YouTube. That's going to have like more of my longer form interviews. Like I talk about my journey with, Ozempic, or, you know, weight loss shots, you know, that very controversial topic. And so, yeah, more of my interviews will go up to YouTube.
And I really appreciate what you have shared from your personal life on social, because connecting those dots between headlines that we're seeing with your perspective and how that and additional information can add to a more even-handed dynamic. Like the mission of AG is normalizing changing your mind based on new information. And this is where like the trust in specific creators, content creators, and sources come into play, because consistency is everything. And I think the consistent way that you have shared aspects of your life and communicated information in your perspective to me is incredibly valuable. So I could not more highly encourage that people follow you on social. And if you want to see the shit talking I said while I was watching these fucking episodes of Vanderpump Rules, I've saved it as a highlight on my Instagram at Dame Gally. Send your satchels of gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns, named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Killorn Ben-Simone, for a satchel spectacular that's going to be going up on Patreon this week. You can DM them to me on Instagram at Dame Gally, or email me a thesis spectacular at andysgirlsshow@gmail.com. And again, number one way to support this podcast, content creation, me attempting to have a third iced coffee in about 5 to 10, is by joining the Andy's Girls Patreon, where you get bonus episodes and more, like the triage-style emergency episode that Bravo by Betches creator Dylan Hafer and I recorded as news broke at patreon.com/andysgirls. Listen, more news is going to develop. Follow Kiki and I for all of our thoughts and feels about everything Scandoval and more. And Kiki, thank you again for coming back. I adore you.
Thanks. Love you.
All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I know I did, which is ultimately most important. And we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.